like a shit. Show my shit as a M. Might get the X6M. Don't follow exit him. Might take the back street. Him house got all sports car like his the watches. Gym, two sapphires on him neck. Next is precious. Gym's not AMG, it's M. Boy, I will eat him. Benz, new engine. You got that old shit. Your wheels deep. Pins him, got a warranty. Don't care if him scratching rims again. Whoa.
Excited about The Descendants 2, and I was like, oh, that George Clooney movie with Shannon Wood, or with
Shannon. They're making a sequel to that?
No, it's some Disney thing.
What?
Yeah. I was like, that was a good movie, though.
Yeah, no, no. Yeah, because that was the first one, not the first time I've heard of Shannon Woodley.
That's her name.
Yeah, no. Because like, she was up for Mary Jane. Mm-hmm. In ASM2, and like that was cut. So I was like, oh, this is a movie that happened.
Yeah.
Award winning film.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okie dokie. Welcome back to Questions We Have No Answers. We never left. We are now at San Diego Comic Con, and we have now met after 30 episodes.
Yes.
Yes. I am Donovan Morgan Grant, and you are.
My name is Harrison Shute.
Hello! For those of you who might care, this is during San Diego Comic Con 2017. I tend to go down here for a variety of sleazy reasons. And Harry, since he lives elsewhere in California, thought, let's meet up. And why not do an episode? And the subject matter for this today, if you can't tell by the no-doubt sleazy image I put for the website, how would you... I'm not going to throw it to you, but like, how would you want to like just care? Because we didn't come up with necessarily a question because we're tired. I don't know, like Japan's sexuality or we don't want to be too aspersion throwing, and yet.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll come up with. I don't know, hentai and or you. So, basically, we're talking about, like, Japan. This is something that everyone has an opinion on, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Japan is a country that kind of holds its interests on its sleeve. And a lot of that tends to be quite sexual. To the point where there are a lot of jokes about it, I think, from the mainstream.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I think I saw a dorkly thing. It was like, have you noticed that anime is really perverted?
Yeah.
And then, like, they kind of, you know, show things that, like, sadly aren't really exaggerated.
Right.
Yeah. And when I'm at Comic-Con, there are the Japanese booths and there are the hentai booths and stuff like that. And I've seen, you know, the range of how Japan gets down. Now, I'm a fairly worldly guy. I've dipped my toe into the dark range of what Japan's animation has to offer myself. But I think, you know, as a discussion, it can be one we can kind of really parse out why is this so different than a lot of I don't know, other Western countries' interests or American countries, or is it even all that different?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about this thing, this thing that like we kind of want to talk about for like since before we started the podcast. I don't know if we'll still go with the title "Why Is Japan So Weird," but
that might be a little rough.
Yeah. We will have like Japanese listeners, somebody knowing, but. Enough babble from me. What do you have to say about it?
Oh, man. I mean, whenever there's a question about, like, the current state of Japan, I feel like it always goes back to World War II. Whether or not that's just my American brain, but they're like, something happened, right? Something in the culture. Post-World War II, it was this, like, over the course of history, Japan is kind of this, like, great success story, you know, coming back from being... one of the great villains of really history, you know, throughout.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know exactly how to phrase that, but you know, in the 20th century, they had this. I don't want to say a renaissance, but I mean, like,
I don't know anything about it. I don't know.
I don't know anything about Japan. I don't know. Whoops. Why I'm trying to take the Ken Burns approach, but I mean, I feel like Astro Boy came out after World War II, and that is kind of seen as, like, the inset point for manga. I mean, I know there is stuff before that, of course, but when we think about Japan, we kind of think about that period, and that's kind of where it all seems to begin. I hear the name MacArthur tossed out a lot sometimes, because I feel like there was an effort to kind of, not extinguish, but kind of censor a lot of pornography or something, and I think that when you try to control the sexuality of a group or individual, that's kind of when you get perversion. I mean, not to make analogies, but as a general principle, obviously you see the same thing in the Catholic Church or things like that, you know. Like, it's not okay to, like, discourage vanilla sex or anything like that because you never know, it's a dark road. Because that's just how it kind of, I mean, that's how sexuality kind of, or not sexuality, but that's how sex or stimulation works, like.
Yeah, you know, like attraction and arousal, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you need something more extreme every time.
Well, that's the thing, too, just real quick, that, like, it's not, I don't necessarily have in mind to, like, say, if you like porn or whatever, you're wrong. But when it comes to this, it gets really dark.
Oh, God.
And I think that's where we're really trying to, like, it's not just, you know, why do they always enjoy the female form? It's it's somewhat like that, but it's also more really, what is up with the underage girl thing?
Yes, exactly. That's kind of the chief thing, because that's, like, kind of, that kind of goes, I mean, you never want to say this phrase, but that kind of goes beyond ethnocentrism into a universal, like, that's no good. So that would definitely be a good starting point. Like, you know, I honestly, like, politics aside, like, I personally don't have a problem with any kind of pornography as long as it's within, you know, consent between two legal adults, even if one is a virtual image or whatever.
Sure.
Or both. But yeah, that's definitely the problem area. Like, where does that come from? I mean, I guess that's kind of the question that we would all have to ask about all cultures, because obviously, you know, pedophilia or whatever exists everywhere. But in Japan specifically, it's like every anime is about high school. Like, that's their age. Like, for Americans, it's like early 20s, early to mid-20s, and then past that, it's kind of the local.
Yeah, it's young but legal.
Exactly.
Whereas in Japan, and it's so part of, like, specifically the anime culture, that it finds its way into other things. Whereas, like, if there's an underage girl who's starting to grow up, it's like a joke to, like, you know, be really perverted against her. And I don't know the specific law. I'm sure the laws are the same as they are there than they are in America in terms of, like, you know, you can't just, like, fondle a girl without consent if she's underage or whatever.
Well, that's what the law says, but...
Yeah, that's true, but, like, I mean...
Subway's a different place.
It's a Japanese institution. But, yeah, there's a thing. I think about, like, for instance, and I remember this, and you'll know this, like, you know, in Kill la Kill, that scene where Satsuki and Ragyo are, like, bathing together, and she just starts, like, fondling Satsuki.
Yeah, she's 18, I think.
Right, yeah, she is, but it's a very, it's like an eroticized incest act.
Yeah, the incest, yeah.
Yeah, and Stella, who's, like, in the same building, she loves Kill la Kill, but she stopped and texted me, like, what is going on? And, like, I mean, I kind of figured out what she's talking about, but, like, it's one of those things where it's, like, and I know we've talked about this before, where, like, it might be character-based, but that happens a lot often in other shows than just that. It's very much a non-sequitur.
Yes.
And... it goes on other things too. It's like, you know, you have your, like, you know, kind of pervial main characters like Kame Sennin from Dragon Ball, or you'll just have just jokes where, you know, like a 14-year-old girl is wearing a high skirt, and, you know, it's like, ugh. And that's like sexual humor. That's kind of how they roll. And then it's just like, I don't understand the whole, like, you know, oh, how big are your boobs thing? Let's just grab them and show them in the screen. And, like, it's very, very, like, maybe it is sort of the times where, like, in America, that's just, like, really not okay. It's, like, not funny. Maybe it would have been funny in the 90s, but not now.
Probably.
But it's that kind of, like, stuff that kind of lends itself to, you know, finding itself in the mainstream anime series, where when you go down to, like, deeper into hentai stuff, you can, like, you know, have your vanilla stuff and your kind of twisted stuff, and then there's the tentacle stuff and the really violent stuff and, like, the really insane, unthinkable stuff that is out there and then people will talk about. I mean, like... I always go back to Wicked City, where, like,
and it's not like that movie.
I love its animation, but, like, I was just annoyed. I was more than annoyed.
It's fucking awful, man. Oh my god.
Because it's like, it's not the smarter chick. It's like the main female character just gets gang raped
17 times,
and then the guy, like, has, like, no reaction towards it, nor does he seem to, like, actually comment upon it. It's like, it's just part of, like, the story, and, like, there's no real. It almost, like, it doesn't happen in the rest of the movie.
Yeah. No, yeah, no consequence to it.
And I don't understand, because is that based on manga?
That's a good question.
I know it's a live-action movie.
Right, which I hear is off the hook, but I feel like a lot of, like, as there was that, and Demon City Shinjuku is based on a novel, I think. I don't know if Wicked City has a, I think that just sprung fully formed from the mind of one Mr. Yoshiaki Kawajiri.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I saw an artbook from him, and I was like, Maybe someone else.
He's a dude, pointy chins and crazy rape from aliens. Oh my god.
Yeah. But that's kind of thing. It's like, rape really is not a big deal in Japan animation as it is in American sensibilities.
At least in America, it's a taboo. Like, it's an everyday thing, and we're okay with it, but it is a taboo.
Yeah, right. Whereas like, in Japan, the potential titillation from guys who don't mind that, no matter what girls think, is much more encouraged or allowed than it is in, you know, and we are Americans. We know there's a lot of ignorance in us telling this, but it's a true confusion that we don't get, because we're also anime fans. And I don't know how this happened, but let's get into the example game. What are some examples that either you can just kind of name off just as examples, or stuff that like specifically bothered you, or anything that kind of just springs to mind when you're talking about this this topic?
Oh man, I mean, we've already covered Yoshiaki Kawajiri. Berserk is a big one to keep it in the mainstream. Like, I mean, I had to not watch Berserk for like years, and then finally just kind of come to terms with what that was, and then finally see it. And so it's, I can handle it now, but like, that's one of the worst treatments of a female character I've ever seen. And then Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, Second Gig, the China episode is pretty infamous.
The kid?
Yeah, the kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, the Major isn't just my favorite character. I worship the Major. And so to see her, like, kind of perv on this little kid, even if it's, like, kind of ambiguous, like,
it's very much like an adolescent's dream, and this main character now becomes part of the fantasy that this show's universe is allowing.
Yeah.
Rather than, and it's weird because, like, you know, she has full agency in that scene, but because it's written by guys, the agency is lost.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing.
And, like, that, you know, that was always kind of a, like, Oshii kind of had the sexuality under control, but I don't think Kamiyama, who did Standalone Complex, really did. Like, there's that infamous shot in the second episode of her giant ass that's like crashing down onto the earth. so yeah, that was kind of unfortunate. I don't know, what were some of your off the top of your heads?
Well, I mean, Akira Toriyama, the guy who does Dragon Ball, he started out, he's generally known for comedy.
Yeah,
like Dragon Ball was a very bizarre period in his life where he's not really gone back to that action mode. But Dragon Ball started out as comedy, and the main female character, Bulma, was 16, and there are a lot of sexual jokes where, like, in exchange for a Dragon Ball, she'll flash somebody her underwear, but she's, unbeknownst to her, like, Goku took her underwear, so she's actually naked, so she'll do that, and the guy reacts. That's a big scene early on in the series.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing with, like, blood gushes from the nose. So like to help Yamcha beat this invisible guy, someone rips off her top and Roshi's nose like goes blood goes flying and covers the invisible guy. That was a big scene, and that's all that's humor. So which I guess like that's sort of humorous sensibilities, but thinking about like the dark stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of like, where's it? I don't know. Like, in All Star, I recently finished rewatching that, and, like, there's a scene in, like, the best episode where the main character, Gene Starwin, is, like, he has a duel, and he thinks he's gonna die, he's really wondering about death, and the main character comes to, like, you know, cover himself, it's in the middle of the night, and he, like, just grabs and kisses her, and she pushes him away.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, he's like, what's wrong with you? Why are you always acting like, and, like, it isn't really coming on any sort of continuity, but it's like, why are you always acting so nice or whatever? You know, ah, shit. And, like, he's really not, he does not look good in that scene. But there's no real development from that. Mm. It's like the show almost sides with him in that way. And I don't get it. I don't know. I mean, I think an easy thing you would say is that, like, Japan is Japan is an extremely patriarchal culture where this stuff is just encouraged and they don't really consider, because like, they've never had a feminist period.
Right.
Or at least, well, I don't say that, cause like, but like, at least not to the extent where this stuff is, like, you know, I don't know if women in Japan talk about this kind of stuff. I have no idea.
Yeah, they kind of riot, but I mean, they didn't have the same history certainly as America.
Yeah, and those examples are like really really tame. I mean, I've seen hentai.
Yeah,
I seen quite a bit of it when I was a teenager. And my stopping point was the Pebble Black thing, where it got very very hermaphroditic.
Oh.
but there's a lot. But in that, even stuff where like just kind of just kinky stuff. Like hentai regularly has rape, regularly. Right. It's like an action scene in an action movie. It's like, you know, there's sex scenes, and then there's just rape scenes, and they kind of just treat it equally.
Mm.
And there's other stuff that, you know, that kind of just passes off as like other anime films, like Mezzo Forte or Kaido or whatever, where the sex is like rape. And like, and there doesn't seem to be any sort of like awareness of what it actually is. Right. It's just another sex scene. And it's like that where like it's regularized, and there's no, the anime has been very dynamic in the last 20 years, 25, 30 years. Mm-hmm. But that's not, I mean, that's not really gone away in my, you know, if you go to look at the animes from the anime series from the late 90s to the ones now, that kind of stuff, whether it's like, you know, stuff that stuff that pops up in an anime movie, or just, you know, this basic hentai stuff, it doesn't feel really different.
Right.
Which gives the idea that it's just part of the culture that they don't necessarily find different, as opposed to how they deem an aspirational character who is either very masculine and strong or whatever, or, you know, somebody who looks more feminine. Mm. But the sex stuff is very, very baseline.
Right, yeah. And I mean, like, you know, American media is still pretty rapey, but we always kind of talk about it. Like, I remember, like, I think it was season 3 of Game of Thrones, like, there was that no becomes yes, and, like, that happened a few times throughout Game of Thrones. And now that that's back on TV, everybody's going...
Yes, they are.
Like, it's so feminist, and I'm like, oh my god, you guys.
Right, because I've been asked Stella about it when we did our Minority Report. Like, I hear that there's a ton of rape, how is that a feminist show? And I forgot what she said. I forgot what the woman said.
Well, it's gotta be, right? Because it's like, people can't have, like, problematic things that they like, I guess. I don't know. That's cool, whatever. I'm always just, like, a hair spread from going crazy on Facebook. I still have a Facebook post that I never published that was just, like, paragraphs of fuck you, Game of Thrones, from last year.
What are you waiting for?
I don't want to harsh on any of this cool, but, I mean, I do, obviously, but... Yeah. But anyway, but, like, you know, when we have a conversation about that, and so just kind of imagine, like, we're still not there. Like, we're still doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. And those guys, the Game of Thrones guys, like, they never really struck me as, like, solid characters. And then they recently came out with their new pitch for a TV show. I'm sure you heard about it. But
what if like, the South won or something like that?
Yeah. Which, I mean, I remember seeing a documentary in high school called The Confederate States of America, which they said was, like, produced by Spike Lee, but he just kind of gave the stamp of approval at the end. And it was so fucking lame. I mean, history. Like, it's exactly what you would expect it to be. But anyway... So, yeah, just kind of imagine that, like, but for Japan, where there's been a lot of reporting, I don't know if it was by Jake Edelstein, but it was from the Daily Beast about how the conviction rate for rape in Japan is just, like, abysmal. Like, you basically...
Oh,
like,
really?
It's practically not illegal. And it's just, like, we're really trying... Well, we're not really trying in America, but there's at least conflict happening. But in Japan, it seems like it's pretty dire. And that would naturally... turn into the media, and then the media kind of spins back on, you know, the waves of normalization, I guess. I don't know.
See, I thought that I had heard something years ago where, like, Japan has a very, like, low crime rate.
Yeah.
And their very sexualized media had lent itself to, like, you know, sex crimes not really happening.
Oh.
So that was a very, like, I guess that was a very, like, you know, amnesiac or very cherry-picking article. If there are crimes that are, like, either... are not charged or not reported or whatever, but they're almost happening.
It could be both. I mean, the sexual assault rate could be lower than America. I imagine it would have to be. All
right.
But still, like, you know, the percentage of how much goes unreported. So I think that, yeah, having a sexualized, kind of liberated media would help. Because mm-hmm. I think in America, like, we're so afraid of sex and so into violence that violence becomes the language. It's kind of the lingua franca. And so that's why, like... you know, domestic abuse and all that stuff. Like, our problems are there, but they're different. And in Japan, so I think that, like, there, if you want to call it sex positivity, it's good, but, like, yeah, it definitely, I think it's not so much the effect, but the source. There's something rotten in the core of it that kind of lends itself to very flippant rape and the incest thing. Just fucking, like...
Wow, yeah.
Even, like, mainstream titles, like, I mean, He Is My Master, I think, was licensed by ADV, you know, rest in peace, but, like, all that, Koikaze, I mean, I know all these titles because of a podcast, this isn't off the top, you don't find these on my bookshelf.
I forget what it's called, it was like Irregular, The Magic High School, mm-hmm. That's another of Stella's favorites, and the main characters are a Gary Stu guy and his twin sister, and it's like the sexual tension between them is, like, it's like, you know, when air turns into gold, it's just that visible, and it's just that kind of thing where, like, and I don't understand.
Yeah.
It's very, very, and, you know, I mean, I've never really, you know, I've never really, like, we've not had an episode on incest, so it's not something that I've never thought too much, or even really, like, you know, like, thought to talk about too much.
Yeah, it doesn't really come up a lot.
But it certainly is something that, like, it seems like it's just another more, it's like a sexual, like, kind of, like, taboo as by way of, like, you know, a flavor kind of thing. It's like, isn't this kind of hot thing? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, maybe, I mean, that said, like, in that show, the sister is, like, you know, she looks like she's, like, 30, I forget how old she is, but, you know, she's not sexually mature. You know, this isn't like, I mean, I've said this before, but this isn't like in Cowboy Bebop where you have a character like Faye Valentine who's very sexually mature. She's like 23 years old, and she actively uses her body, like, just like kind of just flirting with the guys and kind of showing off.
It's femme fatale.
Yeah, yeah, but it, like, she knows what she's doing. It's not a show where, like, Julia is a different character than Faye is.
Yes.
And other female characters, like, they don't all resort to the same, you know, well, they're different characters.
Ed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, like, it's there's you can. This is, I don't want to come off as somebody who's like, you know, blah, sex, whatever. But people who listen to this know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't just need a lot of context. And I'm trying to think now of, like, you know when I go down to the booths and I see, oh, the Raid is right next to.
Raid on Achiko-chan's panty drawer.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like the wonderful titles, which I know those are not the original titles,
right? Yeah,
you know, like Bible Black and stuff like that. That's one thing, but like do you know the Milfing Man was not taught up by Japan? I love that one so much. What does that even mean?
Got John Cho in there. He's
awesome.
Although, I mean, a MILF for him would be contemporary, so...
Right, right.
That joke doesn't work anymore.
Right. That kind of stuff, I mean, like, it's... And this is even, like, the bodybuilding thing. It's like, but, like, that's similar, but I kind of think it's a little different. But, like, this is the stuff that's, like the mouse pads.
Oh, God.
Where, like, it wasn't, like, her boobs. It was like, she was, like, with her legs open and her cheeks were the mouse pad. Or her hair was in the center and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that stuff is, like... It's really, intense. Yeah. And like focused and concentrated, and it's very obvious like where that's placating. I mean, you have anime stuff like Free, which I know is very like it shows up the male form, and a lot of anime fans who are women love it.
Yeah, sure.
For that very like, you know, like sexy reason, mm-hmm. And I can't even imagine to begin to critique it because it's when anime is so overwhelmingly, you know, heterosexualized for men. That's like sure, all right, what? Absolutely, go for it. But they're not even. It's not even like, you know. I don't think they're grabbing their dicks or anything like that. They're just swimming. Right. So, like, I don't know. And I do know that there are, like, you know, like male body pillows where you can have, like, somebody have their pants falling down or whatever.
Sure.
But that very much feels like, you know, like Playgirl against Playboy, where Playgirl eventually goes out of business.
Right. Oh, totally.
So, yeah, I'm not sure. And I don't know, like, what anime out there actually talks... Because you've talked about, like, Morbido... And I've not seen it, but from the way you talked about it, you know, there's a discussion about gender in there that kind of come in. And I guess Kenji Kamiyama did that.
Yeah.
So he has his eye on, you know, a certain type of female character who's not like a lot of other female characters. But generally speaking, it's very much, I guess, like the same male, I guess, it or whatever. I don't know. It would just be so easy for us to say, well, you know, men are perverts, especially Japanese men, and they don't. And there's also, of course, the Asian stereotype where, like, you know, they're like shy as women and they don't get laid. And do we want to talk about the whole idea that people in Japan are like barely having sex anymore?
Oh yeah, I saw that, but I didn't follow up on that. You'll have to explain it to me.
Well, I read that, and like that article was. It said there's a combination of, you know. If they do have sex, they're waiting very, you know, they're waiting to like their early to mid 30s. Mm. They do not date, they do not talk to women, and you know the factor is, quite frankly, there's so much hentai out there.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and this wasn't like Washington Post or whatever. There was some website, but it was a website that thought to talk about it for a while. And I've seen that. That's not the first time I've seen that charge that people aren't in Japan are having sex. And it's also the women, you know, like women are. Less likely to be virgins than men in Japan, but, like, they're also, you know, kind of, like, just calming down around there. I don't know if it's because of, you know, the whole kind of career kind of thing going on, or if it is, you know, the access to porn over there. I don't know. If I wasn't, you know, on vacation, I'd probably look it up more. But like, it's a hell of a thing.
Yeah, it really is. That it would impact, you know, rates like that. Because I mean, I feel like Japan is a society that's always getting older. Their aging population. They like, you know, just in terms of like birth rates versus death rates, or whatever. But I remember, and this is almost a complete non sequitur, but there was a story about a Chinese couple who were very concerned because they were not conceiving, and so they went to their doctor and they were explaining their situation, and it eventually came out that they would just lay in the bed and not have sex, and they didn't understand why a baby wasn't coming out. So
did they go to school?
But they found each other. But I mean, I guess that's like, I don't want to be like a dumb American and connect that to like China's like one child policy, which would kind of be like anti-sex or whatever.
Or pro contraception.
Right. Yeah. But either way, like that's like that, but to Japan, like that some certain factors in culture or legislation would have such an impact on sex is fascinating. For Japan, it's not even this. Conscious thing is just there's a lot of porn, and like it's just like in Futurama, like why we're not supposed to date robots, and that's like probably going to become a conversation pretty soon.
Oh man, I
actually saw something this morning that was like China's starting to roll out sex dolls, and I'm like, have you seen Ghost in the Shell 2 Innocence?
You fools. Well, Barcelona, I mean, I told you about that.
Yep.
They literally have an anime sex doll for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a really great place to be, and I guess that's another perk.
Well, let's I want to go back to like the whole violence aspect, because have you seen hentai? Again, you have your like various genres, like, you know, just like various stupid plots or whatever, and then you just have like the, you know, like the proverbial tentacle.
Yes.
Which went back to like, you know, that goes back to like Legend of the Ovary theme.
Right. I was even gonna say that. The fisherman's wife.
Yeah, yo, duh, yeah, that's the absolute version of it. Mm. Which, why did that happen?
That's probably, yeah.
Like, because I know that, like, the idea of the tentacle thing was that around that time, they couldn't really do, like, hentai.
Right.
So, they like, that, even though they could show explicit, you know, like, genitalia and nudity, they couldn't, like, and I know that in like Japanese porn, they do not show the dick. They no matter what it is, they blur the cock. In the hentai, they animate it, but they always end up blurring it out.
Yeah, that's so weird.
You know, for doujins, all that kind of stuff. So like, the whole tentacle thing was to mimic the imagery.
Right. Yeah.
Which I guess in that way, I mean, I don't know how they characterize the personality of like Squidward tentacles, but like I guess it's a very horny and rapey kind of thing, because it's always like, it's just the straight up rape. It's not great. It would be weird to see, like, you know, I guess a girl like actively like date an octopus.
That would be kind of a nice, maybe if they had a relationship, that might be better.
Who, like The Bachelor, like The Bachelorette. But like Legend of the Overfiend, which I've also seen. And you know, you have stuff like the Blue Girl. I mean, that was like the first one I learned about, where it is like its own genre kind of thing. And it's just, you were talking about how like, you know, like we, you know, if we can't get into sex, we get into violence kind of thing. And then I, in imagining that, it's like, you know, well, violent sex is, you know, the passion of it. You know, we talked about way back when, like, you know, the whole rape fantasy kind of thing.
Yeah, oh god.
And, like, you know, the BDSM kind of thing, where, like, you know, the more intense and harmful and fast and hard it is, the more into people can get. But our concern as, you know, aspiring wannabe feminists is that there's a normal, it's made normal how, you know, the fantasy of, like, lack of consent is just, you know, universal around that whole thing.
Yeah.
And how it's to the point where, like there's a lot of anime where girls will just, like, have their knees go, you know, bow-legged or whatever, and just kind of do the whole whiny thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff that, like, it doesn't have to be, like, you know, explicitly sexual, it just kind of just mimics that.
Yeah.
And it's very, 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 like, I can see how it's just kind of seeped everywhere, and it kind of all kind of stems from, I mean, I don't know where it stems from, but it's like this kind of hive mindset thing. I don't know. It's almost like rap culture, where some rap phrases, you know, seep itself into the culture. Where now, you know, no matter who you are, you can say it. Where it used to be, oh, that's, you don't say those crass things. And now it's like, you know, everyone's saying you can show up in a business meeting with a title and say, "Bye, Felicia." It's that kind of thing where it just kind of pours itself into like this larger osmosis of regulated imagery. That being said, I mean, like, you know, what do we say about it's all fake? So who cares?
Right. Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know of any, like, I know a few years ago, because my anime buddy, who was really into all this stuff, was mad about it. They made laws to make anime less explicit.
Mm.
And they made, you know, you can't have, like, you know, really young characters anymore. All that stuff's on the DL now.
Right.
Like, you can't have, like, you know, a girl looking like a 10-year-old and doing the stuff that she could do maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, but generally speaking, like, what if it concerns like a 16-year-old, what do we say about the fact that it is animated? How seriously should we take it, or how seriously should we talk about it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's hard, because it's like we don't know whether it's kind of like that, like Grand Theft Auto situation, where it's like, oh, this is helping me not be a falling down psychopath. You know? Yeah. But, or is it that training simulation, you know? Is it just kind of fucking these guys up?
Yeah, just sharpening that pencil.
Exactly.
I mean, in fairness, I've not heard of any sort of, like, scenario where there's been, like, you know, Japanese Elliot Roger who just watched a bunch of porn. Although, there have been guys with a lot of, like, lolly stuff who've been arrested.
I think Hayao Miyazaki, the serial killer, which is insane. I think that's the guy's name. Wasn't he, like, somehow connected to, like, hentai or some weird shit?
You know, I know what you're talking about. I didn't know his name was Miyazaki.
Yeah. Maybe it's just Miyazaki something.
That's also. But, I know what you're talking about. And, I think he did have, like young girl porn around that, which is animated stuff, I think.
Okay.
Yeah,
that was, like, the 1980s, I think.
Right. I don't know. I guess it also, like, it goes to, like, just, you know, they have, like, dating sims, and they have, like, sex sims. Maybe, because we always talk about how Japan is, like, in the future, and they come up with, like, you know, PlayStations and cell phones and that kind of stuff. Is this, you know, just an inevitability where, I mean, I can't imagine they'll have licensed characters, like, you know, Wonder Woman or whatever, in, like, a virtual sex game. Like, that's actually made for people.
Right, and, like, licensed.
I mean, sex is universal. Sex sells, so...
Yeah.
It's a question of, you know, differences of culture versus inevitability. I almost feel... Would you say that, like, it just kind of rubbed off in America, and you can kind of see more violent sex, or it's a lot more mainstreamed now than it used to be?
Ooh. I think with the advent of HBO in the 90s or whatever, there's been a kind of move toward a less, not Victorian, but less, puritanical approach to sex or whatever. But yeah, I don't know necessarily. I will say though that, it is, I mean, this is kind of the crucial element, right? Deciding or figuring out whether or not this kind of thing is actually dangerous, or if it's just weird, because, you know, as Americans, we can look at tentacle porn and be like, oh, that's so fucking weird. But in America, you know, 1 in 6 guys will commit rape in their lifetime, and then, like, 1 in 6 women will be raped. And, like, at some point, like, it does matter whether or not it bleeds into reality. And so if it doesn't, then it honestly doesn't matter how fucking weird it is, tentacles notwithstanding. But I also think that you don't arrive at tentacles without some kind of cultural psyche damage.
Right.
Yeah.
Some sort of, like, just, like, kernel of what caused it or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I think that, like, my issue is that, like, that's just kind of how they see women generally.
Right, yeah.
Yes. Which is, you know, there's such a women problem across the planet that, like, I worry that, like, it's very, very regressed in that way. And as far as America might think it's going forward, Japan's, like, you know, keeping it from going faster.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, this is sort of like, you know, throwing stones at another country, but It's from a fanboy perspective. Or from a nerd perspective, I guess.
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, you said that, like, you know, we're anime fans, and we, unfortunately, we see the effects of hentai, because we watch Wicked City, and, like, you know, I wrote something a long time ago, that was just, like, why I like anime. And, the main reason was because...
Hey, questions with no answers, gang! Or questions we have no answers, gang! We're taking over your podcast.
Guest stars, impromptu.
Oh no, we've been crashed. What's going to happen to us? To be continued.
Science fiction has always been an opportunity to go into space and look back down on the world from a new perspective. You wouldn't believe how much can be said, even in the vernacular of killer robots and alien monsters. Analyzing sci-fi media of all kind, we open a door. The environmentalism of Avatar, Halo and Religion, Ghost in the Shell and Feminism. For these and more, check out The Battle Beyond Planet X on the iTunes Store and at battlebeyondpodcast.com, where even the farthest intergalactic journeys can teach us about our world today.
All right. And we're back. We escaped our invaders. And I probably should play it to where you were about to make a point. I was just going to say real quick, because it was brought to my attention by somebody, I don't know, in the show or on High School Host Club, which is a funny, it's a comedy, it's a reverse harem show. But there is a moment where the main character is like, she's like not feeling well. She's afraid of lightning. So she's hiding in her room. And one of the cool older characters who knows everything just randomly just throws her on the bed and like is like over top of her saying, well, how would you react if I took advantage of you right now? And she's like, I know you would never do that, so and so senpai. and she like kind of just walks away from him, and he's like, oh, I wouldn't, would I? And like, that's it. And it's, again, is that kind of like normalized, just like, I don't know, just like flirtation with rape?
Yeah.
That like, that untabooizes it or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, we're fine.
Oh, that's a show?
Yeah. Thanks, no problem. It's that kind of stuff. Like, you mentioned Berserk, and we've mentioned, like, the Calogero stuff, Ghost in the Shell. I don't remember that kind of stuff happening. I mean, I could be mentioning it, but I don't remember that kind of stuff happening in Cowboy Bebop. We've mentioned Kill la Kill. I mean, is there anything else that comes to your mind in terms of an example?
Oh, gosh. Certainly nothing in Hayao Miyazaki, the regular one. I mean, there's that whole, like, Spirited Away popular interpretation that it's like a... I don't even know how to say it. Like, what's the polite word for, like, den of prostitution? But whatever.
Nice brothel.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, obviously they're out there. We're just, like, at a loss. I mean... well, even going back to the Oran High School Host Club situation, like, that's... It's interesting because, like, when you think about storytelling, like, everything in a story has to do the certain things that they tell you about in Screenwriting 101 or whatever, that it's got to advance the story or detail character. But in that kind of situation where it's a reverse harem show, obviously this is genre specifically for titillation, even though it's all, like, blue balls. Like, there's no actual sex or anything.
Yeah. Play heavy foot. It's like one woman, several guys. The woman's a tomboy. She's confused for a man. So it's like heavy. It's like fun flirtation. Like, oh my dear, whatever. But it's very like, it's very 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 G rated.
Okay.
Generally, it's not really. I mean, you know, it's an anime, so like it's not Nick Jr. or whatever.
But if you turn the audio off, you wouldn't tell.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there's any sort of like fan service ever.
Wow.
And like shirtless guys doesn't count.
Yeah, no, that does not. We need more of that.
Yeah, so I mean, like, even because like, you know, there's a scene where like she like accidentally kisses her first kisses with a girl, but the girl thinks that the main character is a guy, and it's very very like, you know, oh, that's kind of funny.
Yeah,
it's not done sexily or whatever like that. But that scene is very like weirdly dark and like it's not played for like anything other than like a threatening scene. And this is from the. A character that we're supposed to... two characters we're supposed to root for.
Yeah.
So it's... I don't know what's up with that.
I mean, like, yeah, it's... You kind of... You're left with the conclusion that at some point a segment of the Japanese... Or a segment of people who consume this media gets off on, you know, things that we consider taboo, rape, incest, and not even that they would want to engage with it themselves, it's just a fantasy, and maybe it's because it's deviant, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe it's like the power dynamic.
Right, yeah.
That
could be a thing.
Yeah, there's a... The way that I don't like how, you know, I say I don't like as though it's a unique opinion, but like the way that a lot of women and girls in the modern era are done, it's very samey.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like kind of whimpering, you know, and you know, in that article I remember you said that you love anime because there's a lot of like very strong female characters. well, there are, but it's very, you know, on the other hand, there are a lot of like, you know, kind of like weak female characters, or these characters kind of ascribe to a type, no matter, so like they'll eventually be, I don't know, just kind of just crying or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh,
I peed my panties, and now I'd like to
pee
my panties.
Yeah, I don't know. The infantilization.
Yes.
Is irritating. I hate the whole bowlegger thing.
Oh yeah, that's awful.
Yeah, I was talking to Jan about that, and she's like, "Oh, that's just to make them look more cute or whatever." It's like they're like grown. like stop that. That's irritating. That. Look, Tommy Pickles. It's just maybe it's owed to the fact that anime is by and large a male run industry.
Yeah.
And they've not, you know, the combination of that, the lack of a significant comparison to American terms of the feminist movement, the idea that, like, you know, with art you can do anything, and why wouldn't you want to draw a sexy girl? But I guess the lack of self-awareness is what kills me.
Right, yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. Because it's a market. I mean, sex sells, fine. I mean, I guess anime, I mean, anime characters having sex, I mean, like, you know, R. Crumb did that back with, like, Fritz the Cat. And that was sort of like, you know, a plot with porn kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, those seems a lot more subversive.
Yeah. Until it was bastardized by Ralph Bakshi.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, and there are comics, very underground comics, indie comics, nothing mainstream. Although, there was a period where, you know, comics have been, like, sexualized. They'll have their scenes where, you know, they basically engage in adult sexuality, but I mean, you're never going to see like a mainstream comic just getting in a full on sex scene.
Yeah,
it can be like, you know, very like graphic in terms of, you know, where it's going, but it's never explicit.
Yeah.
But it can always be like, you know, there have been a lot of times where I'm like, you know, that's like, that kind of went too far for these kind of characters, because it's a weird thing to kind of combine that type of reality with the licensed character. But like I also say, like underground stuff like Faust, Love of the Damned, that's like a horror porn comic.
Okay.
Because I watched that, Jen and I watched that movie. It's weird as fuck. You should see it. It's weird as hell. And there's this weird, just like weird sexy thing going on. And it makes sense because like the comic book is like, there's a lot of violence and there's a lot of sex in it. So I can absolutely see where the translation, you know, the transition came from. And stuff like, you know, like Avatar Press is a comic industry that has a lot. It's basically an excuse to draw like the naked chicks and porn scenes with like a lot of violence, like Razor and whatever. And I don't know how big of a market they are, but they're still going. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, sex sells, that they found their audience. I guess it's because that's such a minor thing in comparison to all the other stuff. Like, you know, your Scott Pilgrims and your Chews and your Supermans, that, like, whatever, who cares?
Yeah.
There's not a level of like I said before, like, you know, kind of, I guess, commodity with the perversion.
Right.
As there is in the anime industry. And I guess at this point, how would you... Because I've told you, my friend before, who's like really into that kind of stuff. How do you characterize somebody who engages in that kind of stuff? Because I watched hentai when I was a teenager, and like there was a line where it's just like, all right, I'm not done with this. Mainly when I started dating.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, some guys can really draw girls very attractive. So like, where would you draw the line between, like, you know, it is what it is, like what you like, and that's really fucked up, and I'm looking at you weird for, I'm giving you side eye for, like, liking, you know, watching, like 10-year-old girls raped until they shit, or whatever.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
I mean, I think it always comes down to the violence for me. I've seen some weird stuff that was like that. You know, I feel like, I don't know how much you know about this, but there's that whole, like, I don't know, it's not even a genre, but Riona, you know, like, it's just like, people...
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. I've seen videos where people will take fighting games and just, like, have a character beat the shit out of one of the female characters, and then, like, that's somebody's pornography.
I've seen the opposite. Okay. It's on YouTube, where, like, you'll see Batman, you know, like, a 3D video game animated. Like let's say, they'll take, like the model from Batman Arkham Asylum, mm-hmm. the game, and he'll be, like, beaten up and, like, sexually humiliated by, like, Poison Ivy Catwoman.
Yeah, I've seen that, too, yeah.
That is, like... Very, very, like this is, like, the modern age. I don't know what that is.
Well, it's, like, animated with, like, craft and care and stuff. But I guess with the kind of the underage thing, it's, like, I don't know if these guys are, like, kind of divorcing the number from the image because, you know, you have, like, this abstract little bug creature, and it's supposed to be a 12-year-old girl, but then right. you also have, like, a character who just looks like... like Sakaki from Azumanga Daioh, and you can say that she's 15, but she could be 22 or whatever. So I don't know if there's any separation going on there, or if it really is like pedophilia, but that's another line, definitely. And I don't know enough about incest, like where that comes from, or if it's just like the
pure. Yeah, sorry. I was looking in the distance. But no, I don't know. Yeah, it's like, I know that like, In Japan, they want girls to look cute.
Sure.
So they have the whole, you know, like, idol thing. And like,
yeah.
And, like, the whole group of idols, girls called, are like, you know, they like their cute girls. And to the point where, like, you know, like Sailor Moon is a character who, even by the female artist and writer, is, like, 14 years old at the beginning of the series and is drawn, like, she's at least 16 to 18. Mm. And this series is very interesting because, like, it's very, I mean, these are high school girls. They don't really do anything explicit. But, like, if you look at the manga, the cover images are very, like, I'm going to say this, like, kind of eroticized.
Yeah.
There's not, like, any graphic thing, but you'll see her and her love interest, like, and they're, like, you know, it's not really explicit, but they're, like, naked in bed. And they're really, like, you know, it's very kind of, like, romantically sexual. But they're like high school kids, and it's sort of like kind of, it's sort of a fantasy of like, you know, like the foreign kind of thing going on, and at first I was like, what the hell's going on with this? And then like, probably Jan explained to me that like it's very much like, you know, a young girl's like, you know, sexual fantasy or sexual aspiration or whatever. So it's a lot more positive, and it has nothing to do with like, you know, exploiting young girls at all. It's you know, it's giving that a voice. Right. It's giving that an expression. Oh. That is, you know, and of course, that's with a female creator. So it has, you know, the work to go into that, as opposed to, like, somebody making a crass joke or whatever, or taking a strong character. And, like there was another, I hated this about Outlaw Star. Like one of the main characters, who's, like, this, like, female samurai character. It's very, very, very tough. She's voiced by Wendy Lee.
Nice.
She's supposed to be really cool. But, like, her intro episode, she's, like, chasing the main character, and, like, he defeats her by basically, like, taking off, like, her rope belt and, like, her clothes are coming off. So she's, like, she's defeated because she has to keep her clothes on from coming on.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I was, like, that's, like, what is that? She could kill him. Yeah. Like, come on. And it was just, like, this sort of, like, this end, like, Flint-esque man will conquer all kind of thing. And I don't... That might have been down to the creators or the people behind the anime or whatever, or is that like endemic of the society?
Right.
I don't know. I guess I mean in this instance, it could have something to do with like more women voices in it. The woman named Peach Gomine was really sexualized, but she was always somebody who just absolutely used sex as a weapon.
Right.
So it was never really something that like. Wasn't it got away from that? Even if you know, if you find yourself, you know, in some situations, it was really, really. She was always the main character that you followed, and she even if it was, you know, even if it reminds you of a lot of other anime tropes, it's hard to separate that. And you've seen this before. It's hard to separate certain scenes from like the context of anime, the context of Japan.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from Castle of Cagliostro, like, the woman called Fujikumine was, like, the one Lupin thing that I would actually want to watch. And it was because it was by a woman this time. I can never remember her name. I always think it's like Sayo Yamamoto, but that's like an actress. But like she's one of the prominent voices in anime right now. I mean, she did Yuri on Ice and Michiko Nachi. And I think that like that's, we can talk about the problems, but that's definitely the solution. It's just for more, I mean, we always say like that's the solution is for more women to be like, but what does that really mean? in terms of like how it's done. But like, so yeah, I think in that way it could be a cultural thing that it's just the men and the heterosexual men in Japanese society are even less attuned to women's issues than we are. And that's a sad state.
Yeah, it's not even brought up. I did think of that scene from Cowboy Bebop, and I think this is something that we can talk about, because it's not like, it's interesting to think about, because like there's that scene in Knock on Heaven's Door where Faye's like captured by
Vincent,
and he like cuts her shirt.
Yeah, you see her boobs but no nipple.
Yes. It's extremely rapey.
Yeah,
and they're not playing with that. That's what it is. And she's the entire time she's like, I'd rather die than be with you or whatever. And then like, you know, the plot takes him away. The way it's shot, it's kind of eroticized. Yeah. Especially because like the shot, you don't even see her eyes. You kind of just see her mouth or whatever. She's being very defiant. So it doesn't really get into like, you know, kind of a uncomfortable, by way of like her crying or whatever. So it's kind of eroticized, but at the same time, it's also very frank with what it is, I feel.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know if Shinichiro Watanabe was like, to what end was he like, you know, just telling a story, and to what end was it like maybe fans, potential fan service?
Yeah. I mean, who knows, but you sure got both of them.
Definition.
I mean, I think Watanabe is one of the better guys doing that kind of thing, and I would say, because before Space Dandy, you'd say like he's, you know, he's untouchable, like, for, in terms of like not sexualizing women characters, but
I see.
Space Dandy was like, the early, when people were talking about that show, a lot of conversation was about how there was a restaurant that the guy always goes to called Boobies, and it was kind of like a Space Hooters, mm-hmm. And there was one episode where they pick up this little girl alien and kind of go on an adventure with her for an episode, and then at the end, he says something to her that's to the effect of like, oh, when you grow up, like, why don't I come around and we can go on more adventures, and that kind of like borderline skeezy way that you might see in an American movie, but the way he did it was like, you know, when you're like filled out.
Oh yeah.
And like that's pretty messed up. But I don't even know what I was going with that.
Well, you're old enough to get with, you know, then we can have sex, little girl. I was like, there's this kid who like from high school, who did not end up well, according to my reunion. But I remember him saying in high school, you know, that girl from that school who's like in third grade, when she grows up, she's going to be hot. And even then, people are like, you're sick. And he was sick. And is sick. But it's that kind of thing where like, it's very, very much like, you know, like the misogynist reality.
Yeah.
Like whole manipulation of women's, bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. You know, because like, you know, Comic-Con here, there's hundreds of thousands of people here. It's a lot of cosplay that's very, very sexy.
Yeah.
You see a lot of women. a lot of women and a lot of those women. But, you know, I'm trying to stay on point here, but, you know, they want to dress like that. Yeah. And dressing like that isn't innately wrong, although there's always, you know, the idea of, you know, men want people, women to dress like that. But when they want to dress like that, it's empowering. They want to look good. They want to be their favorite characters or whatever. It's tough because this kind of stuff with, like, you know, anime and hentai, it kind of makes it harder because as many female characters as there are that lead several series, under the pen of men, it's very dependent upon men's, you know, sensibilities. And it always ends up in a bad ending.
Yeah, almost always.
So it's one of those things where, like, a lot of times I'll see something and I'm like, that's sexist or whatever. And Jane will be like, well, no, it's not, because you think about it from a woman's perspective, and you know, it might be this or that. And there are times where I'm thinking she's a little too generous, like, not necessarily considering, okay, but this is done by a guy or whatever. So it's like, we were talking about Star Trek.
Okay.
And Star Trek, I don't care what anybody says, the original series is a very sexist show.
1960s.
Yes. Yeah. And that goes down to Gene Roddenberry himself, who was like a very, like a ladies man kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Like the women in that show are like generally badly written. And they're wearing these like these skirts, which go up so high. Anime styles, you can see like their underwear sometimes.
Yeah.
And I said that was ridiculous. And then Jan was like, you know, well, no, because like, you know, miniskirts in the 60s were like, was like a feminist statement kind of thing. They wanted to do that. And in fact, the story goes that like they were usually wearing pants, but they wanted to wear skirts, you know, to comment on the future. And she was right. I looked it up and she was absolutely right. Which is weird because like they're still written very badly.
right. It's layers of like sexism and feminism. It's like,
yeah. So I mean, like, I guess it's just me complaining that like, why can't it be easy to figure it out?
Right, exactly. You see a miniskirt, you just want to call it sexism.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, and I think one of the easiest, like, you know, fish in a barrel we could ever do was like this episode, this topic.
Yeah.
Like why did Wicked City happen?
Why? Goddamn.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about this like a couple of days ago. I guess everything has to be a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
Is there any way it can't?
Right, because that's like how we just never work towards solving it, if it's on a case-by-case basis. But,
yeah.
I mean, you had mentioned, like, what are the people like who enjoy this kind of thing? And talking about somebody who ended up not so well. I think it was 2 days ago, the frontman for Linkin Park committed suicide.
Right.
And yeah. So I've been thinking a lot of, because Linkin Park was like a huge part of my childhood.
Early 2000s, yeah, absolutely, mine too.
I've been thinking a lot about really like the emo movements and how like back then, like Linkin Park was kind of a soft mark for a lot of people because...
That was very much like, you know, like a characterization of emo kids.
Exactly, because it was the screamo and it was the like new metal.
Crawling in my skin,
yeah.
In the end, it doesn't matter.
Which I was listening to a bunch of Linkin Park on the ride up here. It was a 3-hour drive, and the one of my favorite songs of theirs was from Reanimation. It's the Crawling remix, and it was
me too. I love that.
Yeah, and like when he goes into the chorus from the bridge on the second part, like I was pretty close to tears. But I mean, it's just
violins,
like,
man.
Yeah, such a good song. But it's I kind of want to. I feel like this problem. Sexuality.
This topic.
Yeah, this topic can be approached from two angles. Mm-hmm. And one is there needs to be a greater tolerance for women creators. We need more female gaze, and I think that's something that America could kind of lead by example.
Yeah.
Because obviously we can't go to Japan and start dictating. And then the second one is to kind of address those people and take them seriously. It's easy to laugh at them, and I've known a couple of, I guess, kids at this point, growing up throughout high school and college, who were not really like that, but definitely like kind of the weird anime kid who just like didn't always make eye contact if we're talking, like their volume was too loud, like that kind of thing. Just like kind of people who just make you uncomfortable enough that they're just pushed to the fringe. And then a category beyond that would be people who have, you know, erotic images of Tifa on their wall, and you know, that's not cool. Tifa's a cool character.
Yeah, don't do it, Tifa. That's like with Chun-Li. It's like,
oh god.
You know, I really like Chun-Li. I don't like her seeing, like, you know, the victim of male's desires.
Yeah. Well, don't look up any Riona videos. But
right. And Morrigan's fine. I always found her hot, but like Chun-Li, please leave Chun-Li alone.
But yeah, I mean, I think for us Americans, taking the otaku issue seriously is, I think that's an approach, and it's also something that has to come from male privilege too, because it is tied up in misogynistic issues that, like, we just can't ask like women to negotiate with that kind of sexism or whatever.
Yeah.
Even if they'd be the authority on it, I think we'd have to kind of be the facilitators.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it's fun because you never know. One person's, and I see this a lot lately, especially with like Black Twitter and, like, you know, how the Black online community reacts to certain things. One person's minstrel is another person's icon. One person's sexist character is another person's, like, you know, aspirational figure. You know, one person can be like, you know, screw Wonder Woman, she's always wearing a swimsuit.
Mm.
And like they showed in the DC booth, you know, because just like the Wonder Woman character, because it was the 75th anniversary last year, I believe. Yeah, Pusher last year. And all these women across the world are like, you know, I've always loved her.
Yeah.
You know, you said little girls, you said older women, you know. You should never try to take away something from somebody if, even if you find it problematic, if it means something to them.
Right.
You can talk about, you know, why you think it is, but that's not, if your anger is not the last word on something, if people can find it empowering from marginalized groups,
mm-hmm.
I think. I mean, I like to say, I'm always proven wrong. But, you know, like, I would have thought that, like, you know, oh, 60s comic books are always racist or whatever. But no, Stan Lee wrote a really timeless story about black characters that no one talks about.
Yeah.
No one ever talks about. And, like, you know, Stan Lee's a very goofy guy who you can say has done a lot of, you know, not giving people credit or whatever. You can say a lot of things about him. But, like, that was, you know, when he leaves this world, I mean, that's something that I'll always look up to him for.
Yeah.
So, like, how does this relate to hentai?
I don't know. It's like we're trying to avoid it somehow.
Well, I mean, like, I don't like... I was thinking about this today because... or I should say this week because I was reading this book, Whatever Happened to Princess Paragon. And it's a book, it's a fiction book about a comic writer who took a... He took this very Wonder Woman-esque character and tried to revamp her to make her sales increase. So he made her a lesbian. And this is written in the 90s. It's written by a gay author. It's a searing slam on, like, 90s comics.
Mm.
Like, it's actually very brutal. it's meant to be like a humor book, a satirization book. But, man. But it was one of those things where it's like... the way that he characterizes, like, comic fans is very, like, typical fat nerd version, you know, like unsocial, shy, whatever. And it was written well enough where I was like, I was feeling bad about it.
You're trying to hide your comic book.
Yeah, I'm a player. Yeah. but at the same time, I was like, well, no, you know, because every time I come to Comic-Con, it's just nothing but love. Right. And, like, I come here and I look at the crowds, and I see a lot of different people. I see various ages, insanely diverse, you know, not even in terms of, like, you know, ethnicity and skin color, but, like, you know, abled and disabled,
age,
body types, and everyone's there. No one's like, you know, oh, look at that guy. Nobody's like that.
Yeah.
No matter what. So it's all screw you, stereotype, because, yeah, there's absolutely, like, you know, kind of, like, you know, negative looking comic guy nerd that exists, but that's ignoring everybody else.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want to, like, just pick on, you know, like otakus who engage in this. It's more of, like, the subject rather than the person.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy, you know, attacking misogynists and, you know, like picking them on the head and saying, like, you guys suck. But to me, it's more of, like, you know, I guess one thing I've not brought up is, like, you know, the sort of warped sexuality of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like, you know, is this why you've not really, you know, not really a person to people who, like, necessarily, like, you know, aren't always socially active? Because that's, I don't want to say that, but this, at the same time, like, they aspire to get with, like, the whole fictional character thing, aspire to get with, like, Morrigan or something like that.
Right, yeah.
And this is their way to, the whole, like, the loneliness AIDS kind of aspect of it. And because, like, their loneliness is by way of extreme misogyny and violence. And
right.
Horrific imagery and it's like weird stuff and, like, you know, like the mouse pads and all that kind of stuff. It's like a dark patriarchal dystopia where, like, could you imagine getting that of, like, I don't know, like a Serena Williams or something like that?
Right.
So I don't know. It is a question. It's something, you know, I can try to be nice all I want, but there is a very dark element to it that we've been talking about how much we fear.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, there's also that cultural violence against women that is carried in all of our hearts and peaks with these kinds of people. Like, are these... I mean, because for whatever reason, the biggest way to damage the male ego is a rejection, of course, which often leads to violence and reciprocation, or without reciprocation, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that rejection takes different shapes in everybody, whether it's just the guy who never asked out a girl but just kind of felt like, you know, that's not for me. He feels rejected. And so maybe his fantasy, his escape from that reality is revenge in a certain way. That
just like furiously masturbating and like just like having a lot of things in his head and all that stuff.
Yeah, and kind of like, fuck you women, but also I kind of want to like
that. Yeah.
Angry. And that's what makes it hard.
Male homosexuality is really gross, as you say.
It can be a beautiful flower, so I hear, but I only really care about the bad stuff. But I mean, even that's the American or worldwide reaction to hentai. So I guess there's the two levels, which is the source and then the effect, and I guess they're kind of the same. They're both bad, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess as of now, because I want this to become a topic we kind of return to. Partly because it's fun, but partly because I do want to know. I don't know, because you know, there's this stuff that's like, you know, people are into like a lot of stuff out there in real life, and maybe like, you know, the darkest depths of hentai gets into that. But when it comes to like, you know, just like the normalization of rape,
yeah,
and just making that like this like a very common flavor of it, of your pornography. I don't know. I regret how loud that is, and if it was just like just kind of just this goofy stuff, then I'd be like, ha, that's kind of funny.
Right.
But like, I think people look to it why how weird it is because of the violent element of it, and like, you know, the lack of consent or whatever. But I guess generally speaking, because I guess anime at all tends to have like, you know, very disproportionately, I mean, like the women in anime by and large are like the women in comic books. they're not really realistic.
Sure.
But I suppose as long as, not to be like in dead mother about this, but as long as, you know, repeated exposure doesn't lead to long term harm.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Right.
But I really worry about you, son, that that might be the case. I don't know. I hope to get some feedback. What do you, I hope to hear what you guys think, because, you know, two voices can only say so much. So
I've heard.
So, what are you thinking? What do you think about this?
Well, here's the thing. Obviously, we all know this, but it should be said that there's nothing biologically different about the Japanese people. This is a cultural thing, and the fact that it's been. That it is normal for other people, for Americans, European otakus. I feel like it could have been hentai, it could have been anything, that the people who escaped that reality and angrily masturbated or whatever would have found something. And so I guess it's like, it's just a matter of what is acceptable. Because in American society, like, our movies are so messed up. But there is no sexuality without sex. There is no kind of like, you just kind of grab a girl's boob and that's like...
Next scene.
Yeah, because I feel like in anime, like, it's just kind of constant. Like, there's just this constant, everybody's just hard throughout every scene.
Yeah, like a lot of male characters, no matter who they are, like the idea is that they're always like 14-year-old boys.
Right.
Hormonally.
Yeah.
Thing. One thing, just another thing that like I would like to mention, in terms of like, you know, influence. I think that like, you know, you talked about how, you know, we have HBO and stuff like that, like, you know, where sex is a lot more, it is more commodified in our media now, and like, you know, you have movies that has a lot more sex scenes and kind of stuff like that, and they can, you know, show nudity or whatever. Sometimes, I mean, that's the storytelling thing. Sometimes it's a little, you know, TNA for its sake, which I guess is fine.
Most of the time, though, so it kind of stops being fine.
Right, yeah. Like, I think Penny Dreadful, it was pretty much porn plot. Which, again, you know, I don't know. I still feel betrayed that, like, you know, oh, man, Eva Green's shirt is getting, and Billy Piper sure are getting up the ass. But Josh Hartnett and another guy are kissing. Cut to next scene.
Yeah.
I was like, you know.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, come on. My point is that, like, I feel in America, like, seeing an attractive celebrity, like, have sex is sort of like that sort of, like, you know, also pornographic shortcut in a way.
Sure.
Which, you know, not to be sex negative, but there is an element that sometimes I feel that we're like, you know, like what's her name? Like Megan Fox wouldn't do it. I mean, like she wouldn't do it. She's I've seen interviews where she, you know, as you know, a sex symbol as she is, she's her own personal feelings on certain things. But if she were to do like a movie with like a pretty like you know, explicit sex scene, I mean, it would be hard to see that as anything but like just short clip porn. And I'm wondering if that's like America's answer to like hentai in that way.
Yeah. Everybody talks about the Desperado, Salma Hayek, Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, or like stuff like Demi Moore
and
Striptease.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of stuff where like it is, you know, like very attractive actresses, you know, and the draw of it was, ooh, they get this one.
Yeah. And then like we had that spate of hacking their phones and linking their nudes, you know, these things that they would just pass to their husbands. Those were posted online, and I remember the day I heard about Mary Elizabeth Winstead's nudes were leaked, my friend was like, dude, and I was like, fuck you, man, like, no, are you fucking kidding me? Like, because I had already heard her say, like, this breaks my fucking heart, and how could it not? Yeah. I mean, obviously I knew that was an invasive thing, but like, I would, yeah, never partake in that. And so I think that it's always the same situation, even if it's about tentacles or about hacking some chick's phone, some chick.
Like the whole the Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton, like celebrity sex tapes.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, either they were leaked or like, yeah, I guess they were leaked. Right. Or maybe. But like those kinds of things, like, you know, they're very sexual, sexy celebrities getting laid, that kind of thing. Yeah, it's an additional all that.
Mm-hmm. But it is different, though, right? Because there is a certain taboo. Like, part of what makes that appealing is because it's not mainstream. Because most manga is, like, for, like, businessmen, and it's about, like, baseball. Or like, it's insane, that industry. Yeah. So this is, like, the fringe of the fringe. But, yeah, there is a certain level of tolerance for it that, you know, we don't, as a nation or as a culture, we're so afraid of the FBI kicking down our door because we Google searched like Ayako-chan. So like it is different, and yeah, where does that tolerance come from in Japan? Like, what is that exactly?
I mean, like we say like that some things are obviously wrong, and we always talk about, like, you know, the molestation element of it.
Yeah, that's pretty wrong.
obviously maybe they're just a lot more upfront with, like, you know, look, you know, we have characters, they're these vegan characters, they're really well drawn, you know, let's have a doujin market where it's legal to do this kind of stuff. And, you know, or and if you like this doujin, then let's, for the next game, let's redesign them and give My Shirt and I jiggle animation.
Oh my God.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, Maybe it's just one gigantic, you know, sex sales. We just want money.
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't know about
that. Nah, they're selling out. It used to mean something.
Yeah. Maybe. Is there anything else to talk about at this stage in time?
I mean, I'm sure, but I can't. Well, oh, I remember what I was going to talk about with that post I wrote about. Why I like anime.
Mm-hmm.
The reason was because I just feel like Japan is so, like, they're just so in love with women, the men, obviously, who are creating all these things, that you kind of get a range of women. So, like, let's say 75% are, like, sexy or whatever, but, like, and then another 24% or whatever, but, like, 1% is gonna be the Major and Faye and all these great characters. And, like, we don't have that in America. We have, like, Furiosa. Everybody loses their shit. I don't understand it. Like, we just don't...
Hands on this.
Like, we just don't have that cultural tradition of, like, really just, in a creepy-ass way, loving women to death. So that we just think about it constantly. They become a default because they're so sexy. But when they become a default, sometimes that leads to a good product. Whereas in America, we just don't think about women at all. So we never get anything. And I think it's the same way with... weird pornography. It's just like, because it's so extreme for a lot of people, it does kind of suffuse outward into a mainstream hit film like Wicked City or Ninja Scroll even. I mean, Ninja Scroll is the biggest anime of its time, and that movie is not worse, but it's awful. I mean, I straight up hate Ninja Scroll, but Yeah, it's bad.
Is it? I've seen it a long time ago. I know that there's like sex in it. Is there? There's like attempted rape. Is it rape in there?
Well, the stone giant picks up the girl and he like puts her in his mouth, and yeah, you gotta see it again.
All right. There's the. I mean, like Bennett the Sage, who is abrasive. Like anime reviewer on YouTube.
Are there any other kind?
Right, but he tends to go over like he's like the old otaku. He tends to do stuff from the '90s.
Oh god, did he say Narutard?
No, although I wouldn't put it past him. But like, I do watch his reviews of older stuff because I love that era of anime. But like, he's always very violent, and very sexual, and I remember like he did the classic like Ninja Scroll and that kind of stuff, and there was very much a trend of like just I guess because Ghost Show was 95 and like that was not, I wouldn't say that was the earliest stuff. Mm-hmm. This stuff is like, you know, between like 89 and like 93.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think like what was the first one that got really big, because Akira wasn't really sexual, and was Legend of the Overfiend and Ninja Scroll, I guess those were huge hits.
Yeah. Well, so, I think Overfiend, I mean, that was what started the anime panic, but yeah, certainly not Akira. I mean, there's a rape scene in Akira, but it's like actually one of the only
in the anime.
Yeah,
because like they rip off the girl's clothes and like,
oh yeah, yeah,
and then like another hit her and like that's it.
Yeah, so I guess it's not technically a rape scene, but
yeah, it's sexual assault.
Yeah, but it's like one of the rare instances where it's not titillation at all.
Yeah,
which is a sad thing to say.
I know, but this is because this goes back to like when I first heard you back in that Ghost of Shelter. Episode 7, Battle Beyond Planet X.
My Ghost in the Shell days.
Back when you liked that. Yeah, this just great... I listened to it a dozen times. You just had this great point about how much you enjoy the major. And let's think about the nudity. And it's... you know, what does it really mean? But... And you're kind of going at certain points. But you run about... Like, the fact that you even have to talk about what does it really mean... reflects upon the real nature of the weird sexuality of Japan.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really well said, how it's like a rubber band. Mm. It's like, you know, you can be as progressive as they can be, but the history of it is crushing.
Yeah.
In a way. Mm. And I found that Mamoru Oshii book I got for you, it was sandwiched in between two big like doujin things. and like in front of it was a bunch of like Macross stuff.
Nice.
So I spent a long time in between those two doujin things. It was kind of funny because it was like on the wall. I said, oh, can I see that? And I said, oh, would you like this? This is from Masamune Shiro. I was like, ah, okay. And it was like, you know, modern Masamune Shiro.
Yeah.
Like the glistening ladies.
Banana nipples, yeah.
Right, horses, right. It's fun. I mean, I think artists they enjoy the female form. And Bruce Timm is a guy who I really like, but he has this sexy streak. I mean, he's drawn like, you know, like nude art books.
Okay.
And it's never like, you know, it's never anything like hardcore. It's like an artist.
Yeah.
You know, like the female form, very playful. But that's just a pattern that he has himself. Like. The Batman and Harley thing was like last night. You know, it's comedy, so it's kind of lighthearted, but there is like a lot of like, it's like sexy humor, which is fine. But it's very much like an indicator of his stuff, because there's a lot of, like the Batman cartoons, all that kind of stuff. It's a very sexualized world.
Yeah. Of course.
And it's interesting because it makes it realistic, because people are sexual beings.
Yeah.
It makes them, you know, kind of living, breathing characters.
It's noir too, in a sense.
Right. Yeah. 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 There's a lot of like, you know, femme fatale kind of stuff. A lot of great female characters.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things where, like, you know, again, like, you know, the context matters. It's still like, you know, a guy's interest.
Right.
You know, how can we trust him?
Mm-hmm.
Or as the black community says, like hotep, was like, you know, like someone who's just against women. No matter what their community is from, like, you know, you can be like, you know, the greatest let's say like Native American, like, you know, rights figure.
Mm-hmm.
And not really mind what happens to a Native American woman or something like that.
Right, yeah.
It's that kind of thing. Which is a damn shame. And again, that doesn't have anything to do with the topic. But like, it's all this gestalt of female hatred.
Yeah. And I think there's something shared there with all cultures. And I mean, like, I could never talk too much shit about hentai, even because I think it's either America or the UK that produced the Chronicles of Gore, which is just the thing that I hate the most. I'm not even gonna... You're gonna have to...
Oh, you told me... Sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, I'm not gonna...
No, you told me about this earlier. You mentioned, like probably a year ago.
Yeah.
It's like a novel series, and it's like very much like Frank Frazetta, like Ron L., like Robert E. Lee, Robert E. Howard.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. You know, like mostly guys and naked women kind of thing. But you told me that, like, it was like, you know, a planet full of like dumb women or something.
It's a planet where the culture is very specific. It's all about how there are women, and the guy has to go out and like capture the woman, and like there's this ritual where you like brand her and tie her to your horse, and there's certain cultures where like women are dominant, but then like the guys rise up and enslave the women. It's essentially, yeah, it's the female slavery thing. Which was gender swapped in A Brother's Price to a less extreme extent, and that's a kind of a cool book. But like all books, it goes unread or unfinished by my eyes. But yeah, like that's just like that's the worst to me. Even though I have an Odyssey trove the depths of hentai, I don't know if you can blame me for that. But even to think like, because like I might want to alienate that guy or separate him from me or from all men. Because that's the thing that men say, right? But, you know, when I think about... I've done a lot of soul-searching as a writer.
It's all good!
My impressive CV, I haven't published anything. But, you know, I've done a lot of soul-searching as an aspirational writer.
Yes, yes.
And, because it's like every story is about the most badass woman... And obviously, this is a very appealing character. And I don't think it's necessarily about a love for women specifically, but just that we kind of always want our characters to be appealing.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that just kind of makes the problem harder, that it isn't about, not so much sexism, but isolation, right. Disconnection from actual women.
Othering.
Yeah. That it's just, that's just kind of how we are. That's just how we're wired. So, who knows how deep the problem really goes, but I think it is something about the male psyche first, and then specifically how Japanese culture had been formed post-World War II to facilitate it in a way that America's never did, or in two divergent paths.
I mean, I'm thoroughly uneducated on this. An idea that popped in my head was, you know, with Japan, there's lots of control after the war.
Yeah.
And maybe controlling the image of women was one way of regaining some of it. I don't want to, like, you know... wed myself to that, because that's based on nothing but imagine, you know, very limited imagination. Speaking of someone who has seen hentai and at an age enjoyed it, it still finds it funny. The attraction is just kind of, you know, like the spark of imagination, the imagination of sexuality.
Yeah.
But there was a line where it's just like, this isn't cool.
Right.
You know, this is one of those things I talk about a lot on the show, where it's like, you know, everyone has that in line where it's like, okay, but wait, this is wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a whole idea of, like, you know, a drug where, you know, you just need more intense stuff. I never really had that with that, you know. I think it also influenced, you know, how I interact with women and stuff like that, where, like, I'm pretty sexist, but I would hate to be overtly influenced by an extremely machismo type of media.
Yeah.
So I guess my thing is sort of like, you know, I guess why can't other people be like me or whatever?
Oh man, yeah, that's the liberal dead end.
yeah, it is. So I don't know. I think that, like, as of now, it's just I don't know. I guess a better comparison would be like how this reflects against BDSM, but I know nothing about BDSM. I really don't. So, because that's another, like, you know, like sex and violence kind of thing, sort of. But there's no consent because it's just fake. It's animation. So I don't know.
Me and your girlfriend were actually talking about that last night, how you don't know anything about BDSM. It's weird, the things that come up at midnight. But I mean, I think I spoke off an earlier point. Is it, like you had said, you know, there's a certain point where it's not okay, but, and I just kind of thought, like, is there a certain point where it's not okay, and is that the point where it's not sexy anymore? I don't know. And I, maybe that's just a mental check for all of us that...
you know what? If I'm being completely real, I was like, if I think I was like, if I watch any more of this, then I will start to like it, and I don't want to do it. Like, there's a scene in Bible Black where this chick is like, this kid right behind you is all...
We can't move again.
Okay, there's a scene in Bible Black where this woman is just, you know, being like humiliated or whatever, and she has a sort of like this like faucet shoved up her ass or whatever, and it's just this like weird thing going on. And it's just like, I was just like, who the hell gets off on this? And why would, first of all, why would any character think to do this to anybody? Mm. But like also, it's like, this is clearly a sexual abuse and rape forever. And I don't like this, and I don't want to like try to make myself like it, kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's where the violence and my hatred toward the Gore Chronicles comes from. It's just because, like, I don't understand the part of BDSM I don't understand is the switch, but I could definitely see like that kind of seeping into my subconscious or whatever, because it is like, it's very sexual, and our brains, we don't always have control over them. So yeah, that's why I just try to distance myself from it, because I hate it so.
I don't know if that looks under myself loud. How's it going?
Yeah.
Oh, did you actually, like, I'm sure you didn't read all of it, but like...
I think I might have bought downloaded like a demo from on my Kindle, and just read like the first few pages, and I was like, and I've read like a bunch of plot summaries, and those were like some of the darkest days of my life, honestly. It's like when I first got out to Los Angeles, I was all disoriented, and...
Is that during the Futurama episodes of Dolly on Phonex?
Yeah, I think so. Oh god, that stuff, like, that just, it put me in this weird like funk where it wasn't depression, but it was this like physical sensation where I just felt hopeless and like sick to my stomach. It's crazy, and it's like the fact that a work of media could do that to me is just like, again, the power of media.
Absolutely, someone is inspiring in a way.
It is, exactly.
Oh man. Well, I'm going to keep you because you're actually out here on your own dime, and I don't want
to... Oh, no, that's all right.
So,
The other guy's ticket goes to 138.
So, yeah. Okay, so this is us live and in color.
Yes.
We'll be back. Again, we have no idea what we're going to do next time. But I guess we ended up going 2 weeks without an episode. I said, next time. Then I realized that like we would meet Saturday.
Right.
Whoops.
We'll just have to put this one out last week.
to the hottest. Again, if anybody has any thoughts on the matter, how can you not?
Yes, please, we'd like to hear them.
qnoanswers@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Twitter. Check out the website. You can comment on the website. And until the next saucy episode of Qno Answers After Dark in the heartland of Hollywood by way of 3 hours. Keep the lights on.
Keep your Kleenex handy. Next episode, I think we were going to do the dating one, or was that just a...
I don't know if we decided it.
All right.
Adios.
Later. They wouldn't care. When you have my hand switching fifth gear. Forget about it, baby. Let's not waste no afternoon. Cause we're gonna go fly to the moon. Yeah, but anyway.
tripping now. Cause we fleeing to the moon, fuck Earth, man, we sick of y'all. Wings on my back, so we ain't got a cup of chicken now. Nah, nah, nah.